It's Saturday, January 22nd, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce, and this is the Everything Digital Podcast.
Weather today in the greater Cincinnati area.
I love you so badly, I could...
They're solid plastic, so don't settle for imitation.
But the senator, while insisting he was not intoxicated, could not explain his nudity.
Podcasting almost live.
Everything Digital.
Everything Digital.
The Everything Digital Podcast. All right. You may have noticed the show tags or show tag before the sweep started, and that is something new that a lot of people are doing. I think it originated with the introduction of the iPod Shuffle, and just briefly saying what episode it is before you start the show, before you start any intro stuff, just so people know whether they've heard it or not. So, I think it's a great idea, and even though I'd probably rather start with just go right into the sweep, I think it's probably much more convenient for people to have it the other way. So, anyway, there's your Everything Digital Podcast show tag. Alright, so it's been a couple days, and I meant to do it Thursday, and then couldn't do it Thursday, and meant to do it Friday, and couldn't do it Friday, so I'm here on Saturday, and don't have much planned, but I got some good stuff to talk about. iLife 05 and iWork 05, which are just released, and I've been working with them for the past couple of days, as you might have seen on everythingdigital.org, and I will give you the full rundown of what I think of them. Alright, but for now, let's start with your 5 5-second news headlines. Alright, and Harvard student Nicholas Ciarelli, the publisher of Think Secret, has been offered free legal representation in his case against Apple Computer. Improvements in the Linux operating system have prompted Intel to allow Linux laptops to use Centrino brand chips. Oracle has issued a critical patch update for its database server products that fixes 23 recently discovered security holes. And according to the web security forum Sophos, an email with a fake plea for tsunami aid donations is actually spreading a virus. ATI has recently announced that it has been chosen as the graphics card manufacturer for over 50 new notebook designs. And those are just the short headlines. There are, of course, links to the full stories in the show notes at everythingdigital.org. Alright. So, let's see, it's pretty much a mostly Apple program. I do have a New York Times Circuit section for later on in the show. But for now, I want to talk about something I noticed on Apple's page. They've got on their Mac Mini page, they're talking about the Mac Mini. And a quote from the page, "And yes, the Mac Mini will take advantage of your two-button USB mouse with scroll wheel and your favorite USB keyboard. Just plug them in." So the interesting thing here is they're acknowledging that people would want to use a two-button mouse with a scroll wheel, and they're sort of reassuring people, yes, we support that. So apparently, Apple isn't as oblivious as at least I had the impression they were, because they've been using this one-button mouse format for years now. They know people want a two-button mouse or want to use their two-button mouse. And there are lots of rumors that if you've got a Mac, or lots of misunderstandings, that if you've got a Mac, you can't use a two-button mouse. And those are, of course, false. But apparently, Apple is acknowledging that people want two-button mice, so maybe pretty soon we're going to see some development as far as their Bluetooth and USB mouse line, which I love the design of, and it's really ergonomic and fits well in your hand and feels really great. But I couldn't function without a scroll wheel. It's just, you know, it works so well for me. Even just right now, I'm scrolling through the show notes here, and I couldn't imagine using my computer without it, using the arrow keys to scroll, or, you know, bring the mouse over there and moving the slider up and down. Just not as convenient and doesn't work as well. So apparently Apple is starting to realize this, and we might see some new designs from them on the peripheral end. And so anyway, moving on, I wanted to talk about iLife 05, iTunes, iMovie, GarageBand, and iPhoto. I can't review iDVD because my computer does not have a DVD burner, so I don't actually have iDVD installed. And apparently all really that's new in iDVD is more templates, and probably some little UI fixes and things like that. But anyway, iTunes, not really a whole lot of update. We've got support for the iPod Shuffle, and that's about it, as far as I can see anyway. There's probably some hidden features that I haven't found yet, but that's really, I mean, it's not much of a revision. It's, just another step. iMovie, however, the HD feature, or the HD compatibility, is huge. If you've got an HD camera, being able to edit the video in iMovie now is great, because before you had to buy whatever Final Cut Pro HD, or now Final Cut Express HD, which are several hundred dollars, but now iMovie, which comes for, I think it's $79 with iLife, or free with any Mac, that's just right there. And of course it can still edit normal 4x3 format signals as well, and VGA format, and non-high def, but that HD compatibility is huge. There's not a whole lot of changes as far as, like, visible changes. Obviously, the implementation of HD probably took them a lot of time and a lot of effort to do. It seems like just one feature, but it's so much more than that when you're actually making the HD compatibility. So, really, probably that took a whole lot of work, but it's, you know, it's just one feature as far as we're concerned, but it's a great feature, and I'm looking forward to getting an HD camera and editing some HD video once those HD video cameras come down in price a little bit. GarageBand, new power features of editing, or of recording multiple tracks at once, and some little UI things, and not really that much else. There's a couple more features, and I'm liking it a little better for recording, and there's a couple more options here. I got some reverb. Turn up the reverb. I think actually this was here before, but seems to be working a little better now. Echo. There's some echo. I've never used that before. Alright, that's kind of creepy. Just a couple little extra features hidden here and there. Then as far as iPhoto is just incredibly improved, and just really, really wonderful new features that they've got here. The ability to really control how your image is, you know, what your image looks like and the different values associated with it. My camera phone, my V600, which does not take very good pictures, VGA quality pictures, and often they're kind of faded out and don't have great quality at all. Well, I went into iPhoto and I've started fixing up some of the salvageable pictures I've taken, and it's amazing how easy it is and just, you know, how much you can control. And I posted on everythingdigital.org, I posted a PDF of my first document that I made in Pages, and there's on the bottom there's a little comparison, a picture before and after I've edited it in iPhoto. So it's really amazing. Let's see, in the adjust menu, control brightness, contrast, saturation, temperature, tint, sharpness, straighten, and exposure. And straighten, that's it will automatically, it doesn't just rotate the picture, it'll automatically crop it and make it, you know, whole new borders and you know, stuff that used to take several steps and a lot of precision and different programs to do, now is just, you know, right here in iPhoto. Let's see, new slideshow features. I'm actually not that happy with, I guess I just haven't figured it out very well yet, but I'm not extremely happy with the way the slideshow functionality has turned out. And it seems that, like, whenever you want to do a slideshow, it creates, like, an album for that slideshow. You select the pictures you want in it, and then it creates an album with those pictures, and it calls it, you know, a slideshow album. So the only problem with that is, if you're doing multiple slideshows, you've got all these slideshow albums building up, and apparently, like, you go into your library and you press slideshow, and it's not like it just plays. Then it creates a new slideshow, and then you got to go and you got to edit the settings for that slideshow. And it just, you know, it doesn't really work as easily as I would have hoped. It's kind of cumbersome to get the slideshow going. Probably more powerful, but still, you know, more difficult. The other thing is, as far as I found, on slideshows, you can't do a random selection of pictures. Now, I think there are ways you can order your pictures, arrange your pictures, so that they're in something of a random order. But really, there's no way where it just, it takes the slideshow and it shuffles all the pictures up and displays them for you. And you'd think Apple would be in that state of mind, releasing the iPod Shuffle, and, you know, with all the popularity of shuffling your music, you'd think they'd incorporate some sort of functionality to shuffle your photos as well, but it doesn't seem to be there. Alright, let's quit iPhoto here and move on to iWork 05. So, iWork, I have found to be really a wonderful suite of applications. And, well, there are some good points and some bad points. I mean, the overall functionality is wonderful, and the simplicity is wonderful, but there's a couple little design points that I'm not a big fan of. If you've used Keynote, you've noticed that whenever you want to edit something, you click a button and a little window pops up, like the inspector or the color wheel or the text text control box. So the good thing about this is instead of having cluttered toolbars all over the place, you've got these neat little windows that pop up. The bad thing is, unless you've got like a 30-inch cinema display, all these windows aren't going to fit on your screen with your documents. So whenever you pop up a window, it starts covering part of your document. So you can't have all these windows running while you've got your document going. So basically, you've either got to, you know, push the windows to the side or just open the windows when you need them, which is kind of annoying because, say, you're in Pages and you want to change the text size. So I'm used to, like, I'm a Microsoft Word user, and when I want to change the text size, I go up to the little drop-down box in the top, and I click the expand button, and then I scroll down until I find the text size I want, and I click that, and it changes that text size. Or if I want a new font, I click the font thing, and it drops down, and I select the font I want, and it changes that font. But in Keynote and Pages, if you're editing text, you select the text, and there are toolbar items that you can configure where you can move the text to one greater font or point by clicking the button, but then you got to sit there clicking the button until you get it to the size you want. So basically, the only really convenient, or not really convenient, but the only efficient way to do it is to open this text window, which then covers part of your document, and change the text. Which is kind of weird, because you got to cover up the text to change it to a different font. So it really, it just, the whole window thing doesn't work. There should be some way to put all these little windows that pop up all over the place in toolbars, or, you know, little customizable small windows that'll attach to the document, like Microsoft Word. I mean, I'm sure you get used to this window thing, but if they're trying to get the people who are using Microsoft Word and PowerPoint, and I guess they haven't attacked Excel yet, but they might be going for that pretty soon. If they want to get these people to switch over to iWork, then they're going to need to provide a lot of the functionality that was there before and a lot of the user interface aspects that were there before. So the window thing doesn't work for me. And basically what I try to do is make the windows small enough or find space for them so that they can stay up as long as possible. And then I've got all the controls right there, which is obviously nice if you've got enough space to move things around and fit them in there. But I've just got like a 1024 by 768 resolution. It's like I think a 17-inch display. So doesn't really work very well. Now, okay, so that's the user interface. But the actual functionality is pretty good. I've been experimenting with both Keynote and Pages. Keynote doesn't really have a whole lot of new stuff from the last version. It's not a huge update. There's some new features that the users were requesting, and cropping pictures right there in the presentation, and a lot of good functionality that's there now. But Pages, well, of course, whole new application, but really, I'm going to open it now and just take you through this. So let's see if GarageBand doesn't slow it down here. So it basically, Apple has based the whole user experience of Pages off of templates. And right when it opens up, it says, what template would you like to use? So, which I don't think is necessarily good, because maybe, you know, you should just be able to start, like, it should start with a blank page, and then you go from there. Because I would guess the majority of people just want to type text. So anyway, okay, you're presented with this palette of templates, and then you select one. I like the family newsletter template, maybe just because it was used in the keynote, but actually I think it looks the best of all of them. So we'll open that up. And of course you can create your own if you've got that much time and that much visual design talent. But I like starting a lot better with something that's already there. So the template thing works well for me. So I think I'd use Pages for newsletters and stuff and brochures and things like that and special projects, but not just regular word processing. So anyway, I'm in the template now, and it's very easy to change stuff. You know, you just type something new in. So it's got, you might have seen the Steve Jobs keynote, but it starts with the Johnson family. So we'll change that to the everything digital family. Oh, I won't though, because my keyboard is actually disconnected in order to plug in my microphone. But say I was going to. Well, then it changes, and then it's taking up three lines instead of one, and all your formatting's off. So then you got to change the text, or the text size. So I've got the inspector and the media browser open for inserting photos and changing the way things look and stuff like that. But if I want a smaller text size, I got to open the fonts window. So open the fonts window, and right now it's covering both the inspector and the family in the Johnson family. So I can't see the family anymore. And now I'm looking at all fonts, and maybe I'll change this to Arial. And so now it's in Arial, right? But I still can't see what the family part of it looks like. I'll close the text window, and now I can see it, but maybe I don't like it now, so let me select it again and open the text window, change it. I mean, okay, then I'll drag the text window down. But it's just, as you can see, or here, the user interface with these windows is not very good. The windows are fine for some uses, but there should definitely be an option to put them in toolbars or, you know, more low profile type of things. So anyway, you can see the demonstration document that I put up on everythingdigital.org, and I just fooled around pages and created a one-page newsletter with a couple of stories about technology and called it the Everything Digital newsletter or whatever. So you can check that out. And I think that'll be the post below this podcast post. So anyway, that's iWork05. And I've got some non-RIAA music for you. Let's see. It is Bluebird Tattoo from Cersei Link. And the funny thing about this is I was on GarageBand.com and I hadn't really taken note of the artist. And I started playing this song just looking for material for the show. And I thought, this must be the Lascivious Biddies. This sounds exactly like them. I haven't heard that many of their songs, but it sounds like what I've heard. And then I went back, and it wasn't. It was Cersei Link. But I think, you know, as far as I've heard, this sounds a lot like the Lascivious Biddies. So enjoy.
Well, it's a Saturday night, and there's nothing to do. I'm gonna get myself a new tattoo. Ain't no rose is gonna do. I'm gonna get myself a bluebird to remind me of you. He ain't gonna go on my arm on my back. No, this bird don't fly with the rest of the pack. There'll be no drinking Joe or Jack. And he won't fly away and forget to come back. No, he won't. Got 'em waiting in line now. My dance card's full since you went away. And this here bird just found out how to play. And he's no drag, he don't bring me down. And so I shake my bluebird every night on the town. Now he won't.
got my New York Times circuit section. Gonna flip through it again. And, let's see. Get the microphone cord extended a little bit here. Bear with me, folks. Just getting rid of a minor tangle in the cord. Alright. Now, I've scanned through this. I haven't read it in full yet, but I'll do that sometime soon. Maybe tomorrow. New ways to manage your photos. Comparing and contrasting Picasa 2 and iPhoto. And this is from David Pogue. So, basically, he's given Picasa a very good review, and iPhoto a good review, because he seems to find Picasa just, you know, a little more feature-rich and powerful. And also, let's see, there's something in here that I liked. Let's see. But the editing tools in Picasa 2 are much more powerful, not to mention easy to use, deliciously visual, and even witty. For example, nestled among the usual quick fix buttons, auto contrast, auto color, and so on, is a button called I'm Feeling Lucky. The wording comes, of course, from a similar button on the Google website. And then that just basically makes the picture look better. Just tweaks a bunch of levels and makes it look better. So anyway, that's Pogue's column here, and the main story is a high-definition showdown to bring DVD players into the HDTV age. Two rival formats are on their way, but an upstart is already on the scene. And I'm just going to read the first paragraph of this because I thought this was pretty funny. Jordan Greenhall sat before a flat-panel television that glowed with remarkably crisp, bright images, offering it as evidence that he could put a full-length movie in high-definition quality on a standard DVD with room to spare. Neat trick. stamp collecting in an email age. Okay. not a particularly exciting article. Not to offend anybody who's a stamp collecting enthusiast, but I don't find it the most interesting of subjects. Let's see. DVD player tags along in the car around the house. It's, let's see, Audiovox's Shuttle DVD player. And basically, it's a little device that you can dock in a bunch of different places, and it, you know, sort of functions as a portable, yet still permanent if it wants to be, DVD player. So you can dock it in all sorts of different situations and take it on trips and stuff like that. A remote control transmitter untethers the music on your PC. And this is a way to get the music from your PC onto stereos around the house or things like that. And, if you want basically what is an Airport Express with AirTunes, but with a bunch of added features and an LCD screen and stuff like that, and a remote control, it's $1,199 for two zone players plus the remote. So definitely a lot more powerful than the Airport Express, but quite a big price tag there. Quite a big price tag. Let's see. I'm gonna fix the latency here, which, by the way, hasn't been as bad this time, because I found out that, and maybe this is a new feature in the new GarageBand, but apparently GarageBand has a monitor function. And so instead of using Sound Flower Bed to get the playback of what Sound Flower is actually getting, I can just hear it through GarageBand. So less latency, and definitely GarageBand's a little more integrated and can run the audio through a little better. Full-scale surfing using a cell phone as the connection. The pocket server from Datawind takes a different approach. The device is for web surfing. It has a wide screen and a thumb-driven QWERTY keyboard, and it flips open like a book and connects through your phone. Keep your receipts in order and keep typing to a minimum. It's a you may have seen this on Engadget. I saw it. I think it was yesterday. They had it posted. And it's a little receipt scanner. You put a receipt through it, and it reads the receipt and puts it right into a format that QuickBooks or Quicken or MS Money Excel or different money and tax handling programs can deal with. Having a hair-raising adventure, a camera captures the action. A Samsung camera that you can keep in your pocket while having this little little attachment that you can strap to your hat or something that is a second lens. So when you plug that in, that just becomes the lens, and you put that this little durable, like a capsule type thing, you put that on your head or shoulder or something, and it captures the action without the camera getting damaged. Flash card with USB connector for downloading data directly. And this I mentioned a couple shows ago. It's the SanDisk, both a smart media and USB compatible storage device. Let's see. How women are becoming more prominent in online gaming. And let's see. Yeah, and male users are going down, it looks like. Of course, all users are climbing, but the trend seems to be that the amount of women playing games online is increasing quite a bit, and the amount of men playing them is decreasing. I'm not sure what kind of games that actually includes. It says your online Scrabble opponent is likely to be a she. So I think this is more, well, let's see. It says role-playing games, simple board games, and card games. Let's see what else here. Picture tube TV sets try slimmer strategy. How the old CRT televisions are trying to look more like flat panels, and how they're getting thinner and thinner, but just can't quite get as thin as those flat panels. But they are looking better. And let's see. More on the new ways to manage your photos and the stamp hobbyists in an email age. And the last page, a pretty neat article on laser pointers and how they work. Talking about how the green lasers actually work and how more advanced they are than the red lasers. I love these little diagrams they do. They sort of show a cutaway shot of the device and all the internal components, and they show how it works and all these diagrams, and really helps you visualize actually what makes the device do what it does. Cargo container's electronic sensor says do not disturb. A palm-sized security device can be used to generate a magnetic field and track when a door is ajar. And this is seeing if anybody is tampered with packages that are being shipped throughout the U.S. Alright, I think that was quite weird. Apparently, after a certain amount of time recording, GarageBand stops showing you where it's recording. It looked like it wasn't recording anymore, but it actually was. So, up to somewhere around 35 minutes, I think, or something like that. I can't really see, because GarageBand stopped at 33. Done with the New York Times circuits. Done with the podcast. And, for not much material, that was quite a long show. So, That's all I got. And go ahead and post comments at everythingdigital.org or call 1-484-727-0669 and leave an audio comment. Maybe I gotta get a phone number that has a some sort of curse word embedded in it, like Dawn and Drew, and more people will call. Easy to remember, right? Anyway, call that number and leave an ID, or you know, my name is so-and-so and you're listening to the Everything Digital Podcast, or something like that, or just a general comment, whatever you want. Just call. And other than that, I will see you on the next podcast.